morning. We're continuing to talk about Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, the day of blowing, the day of sounding the shofar, and we're going to be getting to sounding of the shofar in a little bit, but just want to talk a little bit more about this holiday. I spoke last night on the idea of one of the major themes of Rosh Hashanah is repentance and coming before the Lord. But there are several themes, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about those themes this morning. Turn with me to Leviticus 23 as we begin. Leviticus 23 is that chapter in the Torah that gives us all of the holidays, including Shabbat, which is also a holiday. It just happens to be a weekly holiday for us. But all of the annual holidays are also there. And in Leviticus 23, verse 23, we read about Rosh Hashanah. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord." So this is a specific day, a special day, as prescribed in the Bible, and it's the beginning of a new year for us. As the Bible says, it's a day of memorial and of blowing the shofar and hearing the sound of the shofar. Now, there are many reasons why we blow the shofar. It's not just one reason. There are many reasons why we blow the shofar or the shofar is blown. And I want to talk about a few different reasons. And these reasons have been important biblically. You know, we talk about ancient Israel. We can see the shofar throughout Scripture. If you did a word study on the trumpet or the shofar, it's there throughout Scripture. And we're going to be talking actually and working through some Scripture passages where you could see from ancient Israel on through, the shofar is mentioned, and there's themes and ideas about why and when we blow the shofar. And even though it was relevant to Israel in the Bible times, it is still very relevant for us today. And we're going to be blowing it a little bit later. That call of the shofar, that blast of the shofar, is still as relevant for us today as it was back then. Now turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. We begin here in Exodus 19. This is, Rosh Hashanah is the seventh month of the year, but the first month of the year, and as I mentioned last night, there's four different new years within Judaism. This is one of the new years. Rosh Hashanah means head of the year. It's the civil new year, and it's the day of blowing the shofar. But there's another new year, and that is back in Nisan, the first month of the year, which is the time of Pesach. And that was really the birth of the nation. And so what happened at that time was Exodus. They came out of the Exodus. They celebrated the Passover. They came out of the Exodus in Egypt, and they Exodused out. And then they came to the foot of this mountain, Mount Sinai. And if you remember in Exodus 20, chapter 20, they were given the Ten Commandments, which is really the foundation of the Torah, the foundation of the law. But as we step back one chapter and we go to Exodus 19, we see the events lining up for them to receive the Torah, for them to become a nation. Exodus 19, they're at the foot of Sinai, about to receive God's instructions, the Ten Commandments, God's words for them. And this is what we read, Exodus 19, 16 and 17. "On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. So that all the people in the camp trembled." And you can imagine being sitting there, situated there at the foot of the mountain, 2 million plus people, a mixed multitude of Jews and those that came from the nations, Egyptians and others, that came out of Egypt and came to the foot of the mountain to hear the words of God, and the shofar sounded, and they trembled because the mountain was shaking, thunder and lightning. And verse 17, "Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain." So there was this loud shofar blast in Exodus 19. The word for trumpet, as we said in Hebrew, is shofar. And the shofar blast called the people. It was the thing that drew the people, gathered them to Sinai to hear the word of God. Let's turn back a few verses, Exodus 19, 13. "No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot, whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. Now, we're going to hear that long blast in a few minutes when we blast the Tekiya Gedolah, the loud final shofar blast. Many times in Scripture, the shofar blast is used to call the people to assemble together, to hear, to do, not only to hear, but to do, so that God can move, so that God can do something in their lives. Nehemiah chapter 4, let's go there. The shofar was sounded and it was used back at Sinai as the nation was just beginning, at the birth of the nation, the birth of the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. But it was also used throughout Scripture. In Nehemiah and Ezra were two of the officials that helped bring the people back out of captivity. When our people went into captivity, after they got into the land, we sinned, there was idolatry, we were taken out into exile. And when the people of Israel came back, or Judah came back from Babylon, Nehemiah was one of the ones that brought them back, and he was building the wall with them. And let's listen to what happens in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 20. In the place where you hear the sound of the shofar, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So hundreds of years later, when they came back from exile, the shofar was still calling them to assemble, and God was going to be fighting for them. And it's the same way for us today. We listen to the sound of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah as we come together to hear from the Lord. God is calling us to assemble. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Now we're going to go all the way to the end of the Bible. The Bible is full of references of God doing this, of calling us, of assembling it, speaking to us with that voice. And we read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, you know, God wants us to come to him when we hear the shofar. God wants us to come to him when we hear his voice. We hear, you know, it's almost synonymous sometimes, the voice of the shofar and the call of God on our lives. And as we know, as believers in Messiah Yeshua, the Lord calls us. Yeshua calls us to him. Revelation 3:20. Behold, these are Yeshua's words, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The shofar, the voice of God, calls us to God. Matthew 11:28. Yeshua calls us here too. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. We don't have to be ready, you know, and have everything right in our lives to hear the blast of the shofar and to assemble. Many times our people have been in sin. Many times our people have been far away from God, and the shofar blast called us back to him. And just as Yeshua says, come to me, all of you that are out there toiling in the world, all of you that have burdens, all of you that have problems, all of you that have sins, come back to me. Point number one this morning, God is calling us to him. And it's a symbol as we hear the blast of the shofar of God calling us to him. Jew and Gentile, male and female, young and old, all of us. We were just reading in our Torah portion last week, Nitzavim, about how Israel was assembled 40 years after the original generation. And they were in Moab, ready to go into the land. And God was saying, I'm speaking to all of you today, not only to your leaders, but your children, your wives, nursing mothers, people that are drawing your water and chopping your wood. All of us here, men and women, Jew and Gentile, young and old, all of us are here to hear the sound of the shofar. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. For those of us that are already believers in Yeshua the Messiah, we recognize this calling. We recognize God's voice. We recognize the calling of the shofar to us. We were called and we responded. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord. You and I have been called into fellowship with God. And that shofar is something that should remind us of that fellowship that we have in God as he calls us to him. Now, you may have listened and responded to the call, and it may have come at all different points in our lives, right? Think back about how you responded to the call of God. It could have been at a low point in your life where you didn't have anything else but God. You couldn't reach out to the things of the world anymore. You couldn't reach out in your own strength. You had exhausted all of your strength, all of your resources, all the people around you. You were alone, and you called out to God at that low point in your life, and God responded. That may have been how you came to God. You may have listened and responded to the call through the encouragement of a friend or a family member. It doesn't matter how we were called. It just means, it's just, the important thing is that we were called and that we responded to the calling. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 18, verse 3. Through different situations, we've encountered God. Through people in our lives, God has been trying to get our attention this whole time. And you know, we may even not have thought about it, but when we were younger, as we grew up, as we went through our lives, many times we're so busy we miss that call of God in our lives. But God has been speaking, so to speak, blowing the shofar to us for many, many years, trying to get our attention. And he's been trying to get our attention all of our life. The problem is that most people don't listen. And they can't hear the shofar. They can't hear the voice of God. Isaiah 18, verse 3. All you inhabitants of the world. God through Isaiah speaking to everyone. All you inhabitants of the world, you who dwell on the earth. When a signal is raised on the mountains, look. When a trumpet is blown, hear. When we say, Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. It doesn't just mean to hear it. It means to obey. It means to come to God. It means to assemble towards Him. It means to listen and respond to God. That's what we're here to do. But when we hear it many times, but we don't hear it many times, even when we do hear it, we don't respond because many of us are not listening to God. We're too busy listening to the shofar blasts of the world. You know, there's a lot of shofar blasts throughout the world. They may not be the sound of the shofar, but they're blasts of the media. They're blasts of other people speaking things, trying to speak things into our life. The culture that we live in. People, good and bad people. There's blasts of shofars going on all around us. And you know what? It's speeding up. There's quote-unquote shofar blasting going on all through social media and all through everything we see when we go out of these walls. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's coming at us so fast, we can't process it. There's so many shofar blasts coming at us in our lives, so to speak. We can't process it all. And it's vying for our attention. We have to be careful what we give our attention to. And we have to be careful what we respond to, what blast we're responding to. Money, material things, other gods that people chase after. Even as followers of Yeshua, if we've already responded to the call of God, if we're not careful, we can doze off a little bit. We can fall asleep, right? We can stop paying attention to the voice of God in our life. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. We can get complacent in our walk with God. Romans 13, 11 says this, "Besides this, you know the time that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed." This is talking to believers. So we have the same problem as believers. We can easily doze off. We can easily backslide. We can easily forget about God and be going on our way, even as we're working for God. That's a little scary, right? Even as we're doing the things, coming here to synagogue, doing the things in our life, we can doze off. We can stop responding to God. But one of the things that the shofar does for us on Rosh Hashanah is it awakens us. It awakens us to God. It should shake us up out of our slumber, believers and unbelievers alike. Many times we're just going through the normal things of life and we get absorbed. We walk around, we're making a living, we're doing all those good things, living our life. And if we're not careful, we can forget about God. Turn with me to Psalm 127. We have to remember, as we're going about our life, to not put God on the back burner, but to put him on the front burner, put him as a priority in our lives. Psalm 127, 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, and the house would be your life, our lives. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. We don't want to be a congregation just going through the motions. We don't want to be people, families, community, just going to Rosh Hashanah services, doing this because it's the thing to do. Okay, it's the thing to do. It's the thing we do. It's part of our tradition and our culture. But it should be because God is foremost in our life. It should be because we want to respond to the calling of life and or calling of the Lord in our lives. And Rosh Hashanah is one of those times that it reminds us to wake up from that slumber, even as we walk around doing all the things we have to do. Point number two, we must recognize our need for God. Sometimes as believers, we say, okay, we got the Lord, and we just move around, and we forget that God is a very present one that's right there. He wants us to help him. He wants to be with us as we make decisions, as we think about things to do, where to go, what job to take, who to marry, how many kids to have, what car to buy, what all those decisions that you're making. God wants to be in the middle of it. We have to recognize every day that our need is for God, not just our want for God, but our need for God. And it sounds so basic and so simple, but many times we don't rely on God and recognize our need. Turn with me to Psalm 70, verse 5. Now, David was a great warrior. King David, great warrior for God. He had so much. If we think about David's life, he had riches. He had honor. Everybody loved David in the kingdom of Israel, right? People adored him. But even after all of that, and he had everything, David recognized his need for God. He recognized that he had to put God first in his life. Listen to what David says in Psalm 70. Now, this is King David, who had a lot. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O God, do not delay. That's the heart we should have. That's the life we should live. That need, clinging, clutching to God, that should be our heart. And when we hear the sound of the shofar today, let it remind us of our need to reach out to God for our life, for everything. Now, as I mentioned before, the shofar does many things. It calls us together. It should awaken us to our need for God. But also, the shofar will alert us that the king is coming. That's another thing that the shofar does. I'll give you an example in Scripture. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13. Many times in Scripture, the shofar would alert the people of Israel that a king was coming, that a new king was there. 2 Kings 9:13 is an example. Then in haste, every man of them took his garment and put it under him on the bare steps. Excuse me. And they blew the trumpet, the shofar, and proclaimed, Jehu is king. I referenced just a few weeks ago as we were talking about Yeshua coming into Jerusalem on the donkey. As he came in, people were throwing the palm branches and their cloaks on the road and because they were heralding in King Yeshua coming into Jerusalem. It was the same way here. People took their garments and put it on the ground as Jehu came in. This was a way to greet the king. And the shofar was blown as part of that. So this is the scene of how a new king would come in. The king was the leader of the people. The nation looked to their king for direction and deliverance from their enemies. The king was the first to go into battle ahead of the people and fight with his army and fight for the nation. Yeshua is our king. He goes before us. He goes to fight for us. The Lord fights for our battles. That's what Yeshua, our king, does for us. Turn to Matthew 24, verse 30. There's examples to us in Scripture of when we hear that shofar blast and Yeshua, our king, returns. He's going to come back, second coming. Matthew 24, 30. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. This is Yeshua, messianic title for him. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with what? A loud shofar call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So with a loud trumpet call or a loud shofar call, the blowing of the shofar, this will alert us that the king is coming. Yeshua is returning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, another scripture about the second coming of Yeshua. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the shofar of God. And the dead in Messiah will rise first, then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. This is pretty cool. This is, again, the shofar is going to herald this to come in. It'll be the sounding of the shofar that alerts us that Yeshua, our king, has returned to deliver us. Point number three, last point. God can and will deliver us. Amen. Do we need a deliverance today? I'm going to raise my hand and say, I need a deliverance today. You need a deliverance today. Yeshua, with the sound of the shofar, Yeshua delivers us. We respond to God. We, you know, perk up. We say, God, I want to hear your voice. Not only hear, but obey your voice. And Yeshua, our King, comes to us. So the King is coming. Rosh Hashanah is all about the King coming back to us. He wants to come in and live in our hearts in a spiritual sense. He also is going to come back in a physical sense. So until he comes back physically, let's have him return and be in us spiritually. Today is the day we can do that. As we hear the sound of the shofar in just a minute or two, let's remember who our King is. And let's prepare ourselves for the blast of the shofar and our King returning to us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, giving us all the understanding of what the shofar does. It awakens us, Lord. It prepares us. It shows us our need to have you in our lives. And Lord, it will usher you into our lives, both spiritually and physically. Lord, I pray that as we blow the shofar today, as we sound the shofar, that we would take stock of our lives, that we would think about all the ways that we've wronged others, that we've wronged you, that we've hurt ourselves even, and that we would return to you in repentance, that we would return to you in joy, knowing that you are our King, you are our deliverer. We thank you, God, and as we hear the blast of the shofar this morning, may it stir our hearts towards you, closer and closer to you, our King. We thank you and praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen.